And that's the facts, folks. You can take this. It's being recorded, obviously. No one, no scientific theory, no one will ever disprove that fact. Ever. So some people will say, well, that's not new. Some people, well, no, it is new. Nobody's ever said that human beings have always been. Always. Except that Joseph Smith guy back in 1830. Problem is, he couldn't say it that way. Because if he did, remember the horses? Hey, guys, you know that we're the most, everything revolves around us. We're the greatest compendium of matter that's ever existed. You know, and we're one with God. They're going, Brigham Young's going, God damn, got to get rid of this sucker. This doesn't make sense. So they get around, they start talking and say, oh, what he meant was God. God is the ultimate one. That's not what he said. Now do you know why this Joseph Smith guy had so many enemies? Why most of his friends got up and walked out of the symposium that he might have given? Because he couldn't tell them the truth, because every time he did, they'd go and leave. And most of his friends did. Instead, he gave them the temple endowment that they can't even get an ounce of truth from. But anyways, I'm telling you what he knew. He knew. So who told him back then? There wasn't another human being alive in 1830s that knew what he knew. Not one. Not a scientist, not a philosopher, nobody. So where'd he get that information? Here's where we get into it now. But I'm not even going to get into that. We can get into it later if you guys want to continue this after 4 o'clock. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about sex. All right? We're going to talk about sex in this way. I don't want to raise a hand, but I know there's people in here that have taken drugs. And Jesus. Well, and since my dear sister is my sister, she's going to understand this better than all of you. And it's going to make complete sense to her, and hopefully it does to you. I'm going to ask her a question, and you might not hear, and I will repeat it. And I want the honest truth. What's that? You don't have to stand up. I'm just going to. Is there a microphone? Oh, she's loud as me. She's in a. Oh, go ahead and give her that microphone. Now, this is nothing. Sis, I love this woman. One of the most humble people, giving people I've ever known in my life. And without her, my time in jail would have been one hell of a terrible thing. But she's honest, and I'm going to ask her a couple questions because they're important, because she knows, and many of you don't, and some of you will. When you take the drug heroin, What does the pinnacle of the feeling, that high, that incredible just, euphoria, what does it do to you, and how does it feel?
Blanks everything out.
And how does it feel? It
feels freaking awesome.
Does an orgasm, a sexual orgasm, have compare to it? Honestly.
Does it compare with it?
Does it compare to it?
Pretty damn close.
What's that?
Pretty damn close.
Pretty damn close. That's
all. A sexual orgasm, though, is like much better depending on,
Well, that's women talking. Us men, we only have one. Us men go through one orgasm and say, But women, there's no doubt that a woman, let's just talk it out, we don't have any kids here, do you? Some of you women might not have done it, but women have the capacity to have an orgasm beyond the imagination of any man. Okay, they have that possibility. But what Elisa's trying to say is that the hit of heroin, it creates in your brain, it mimics that orgasm, and sometimes exceeds, or it depends on the type of orgasms you're experienced. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I think that most women, mark my words, have never experienced an orgasm as powerful as a hit of heroin would give them. Okay?
No.
Okay. Was it your free will and choice to take heroin?
Yes, it was.
Okay. What was the reason why you took your first hit of heroin?
The first hit was to feel what everybody else was feeling, because I wanted to know.
I wanted to know what it felt like.
Yep.
Oh, this is awesome. But as you got into it and the drug became to affect you, Why did you keep wanting more hits?
Because it was fucking awesome. Sorry. It was awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, when the heroin feeling makes you not feel. I don't know, unless you do it, you can't really understand it. But if you're a person, I'm not empath, I'm nothing like that, but I'm empathetic. Like that video, I had to look away on some of it because I don't like being a crier. But anyway, so it makes you not feel.
Good.
So you kind of check out. You don't have to feel. You don't care. I mean, I cared still to a point, but it wasn't.
Gotcha. So yeah. It made you emotionalist, but physically, whole different ballgame.
Oh, physically was great. I didn't feel nothing. It was awesome.
We have to separate the two, the physical part from the emotions. Right. All right? Perfect, Lisa. Thank you. Now we're going to go with what you just said. Any of you that have used heroin before, and heroin's that drug. There are other drugs too, but nothing quite as powerful as that. There's an epidemic going on because of that. Are you ready for this? I got to stand up for this because this is the most incredible, revealing thing you'll ever hear. Better walk over here. I just might cry. Not kidding. The advanced human brain, every time its mortal avatar has an orgasm, senses that orgasm like a hit of heroin. Exactly like it. Now, just like she said, the greater the increase in the sexual orgasm for the mortal avatar, the greater the hit. Once you had that hit, you want more, don't you? Almost sometimes you'd do anything to get that hit, right? Is there any wonder why there are so many sexual problems in this world today among mortals who are connected 100% to their advanced self? That advanced self is going on in a normal life, just like my sister explained. And they're dealing with advanced human beings. They have no sex organs, ungendered completely. Without sex organs, guess what? You can't have sex. It's an obvious thing for them, right? But you can take a hit of heroin anytime you want. But how do you get that hit of heroin? How do you get it and be able to partake of that drug as an advanced human until it becomes the most ultimate feeling that you've ever felt? So that each time you take that hit, it increases until you don't know, how the hell can this stop? That's how a heroin addict is. And that's how an advanced human is. Except for one thing. It stops. It can't go on forever. It can't become the type of hit in your advanced brain unless you have an avatar that has the sexual parts to have that type of orgasm. In other words, that might lost you a little bit. Let's go back. In other words, if you're not a male and you're not a female, and it doesn't take a male and a female to make this happen. Two males can make it happen, and two females can make it happen. In fact, I'd venture to say that gay sex is probably much more intense for men than heterosexual sex. All right, I'm not going to point anything out or even ask that question, but I know. How do I know? Because all y'all males have at one point or another in your existence gotten another male off. It's just yourself. That's what masturbation's all about. And the reason why it's so powerful to a human man when he does that type of thing, because he doesn't get it outside of that, is because it feels good. So, Elisa said an important thing. Now let's go back to our advanced world. The first hit that she wanted to take, the first time she tried heroin, is because she knew what it did for others. She heard about it. Never experienced, but heard about it. Might have had a friend come up and say, man, at least you got to try this shit. This is good. However, she had a friend. You're an advanced human. You're around other humans that are playing the game. And they're having these hits of heroin that you don't get. I want one of those hits. Well, the only way you can get it is you got to enter the game. You got to enter the game. And the only way you're going to have that massive hit that's the ultimate human feeling that none of you have experienced here. You haven't. Not through heroin use, not through sex. None of you have experienced the physical, quote unquote, orgasmic sensory feeling that an advanced human brain has the capacity to feel. You have not. It's impossible. And you never will unless you're an advanced human who is either male or female. This is why. I'm going to explain it perfectly. In order for us males, for example, oh, she's awake. Does she understand what I'm saying about sex and shit? Watch her tomorrow. She start talking and said, Dad, what's a penis? What? Anyway, here's what happens in reality. The male penis fills up with blood. Okay, as it fills up with blood, it numbs itself. That's it. If we could have sex as males without having an engorged penis, without getting turned on, it would be much more sensual for us. Because it just would be. It's sensitive. But we got to do it. That's what happens when we get turned on and things like that, and it numbs. Because blood fills that up. In an advanced human body, in an advanced male's body, there's no blood, no blood vessels. All nerves. You take your body and replace every capillary, every vein, every aorta, every other type. Did I miss any more, doctor? Aorta, veins, capillaries, that's probably good. Any of those, you replace them all with nerves. Nerves. Can you imagine what kind of orgasm we'd have, boys? If it wasn't blood down there, it was nerves. The women's mortal body is a little bit better than ours in a lot of ways. That's why they can have multiple orgasms. And we can after orange juice in a couple hours, but we're just getting serious here. This is going to lead us to a point, all right? Point is, you got to have the body parts. An advanced human being, for an advanced male, they have that body part. There are no blood running through an advanced body. It's nerves. Everything's nerves. That's what keeps you alive. That's what keeps the skin going. All that is nerve. It's from the nervous system. Because why? Duh. Blood doesn't send signals to our brain and create sensational experiences. Nerves do. So it's very simple to understand this compendium of flesh we call an advanced human body. Take out all the blood capillaries, all the blood, everything that has to do with blood, and replace it with nerves. That's it. That's what it's all about. So let's go back to the advanced human. We're advanced humans, and our friends get done playing the game. And they say, holy shit, at least I was in that game. And I became an advanced woman. I played the game right. I played the game I played the game and I developed the capacity and the ability so that I was an advanced woman. Okay? Holy moly, you should have felt those orgasms I was having. They don't call it orgasm. They don't call it sex because there's no such thing to them. It's just the experience of incredible physical the sensories of your brain almost explode. It almost caused you to black out. So Lisa's going, hell, I'm going to go. But since she's an advanced human that's always existed, she knows that. She knows those experiences happened before because she can remember them. Another question for Elisa. You've been clean now for quite some time. In those deep times when you might get depressed or when life's just too much, how much do you want to take one of those hits?
Every day, 2-3 times a day, about.
See? She can remember. She's not doing it now. And even if a friend came up to her and said, oh, my gosh, Lisa goes, I know, man, I can remember somewhat. But she doesn't have the body to remember what that feels like. She remembers that it was incredible. The only way she's going to get that hit, the only way an advanced human can get that same hit, is they got to enter the game again. And they got to experience sex. The only way, okay, now that's the first level we're talking about. So as advanced humans, we enter a game in a universe where there's different planets, different galaxies, and we start to experience things. That doesn't mean we're ungendered at that time. We're ungendered just like we are in our first estate. So we don't have the physical body. Then we start living as little kids, because little kids don't give a crap about sex. They don't care about that at all. The only time they start caring about sex is when their bodies, their physical body, starts to create the hormones and the ability to think about it, to be turned on, to start thinking, oh, man, oh, Judy looks pretty cute. Man, last year when I was a fifth grader, oh, God. But now, well, last year when she was a seventh grader. Now that I'm an eighth grader, I can't keep my mind off her. Because the body has that ability. Well, as advanced human beings in that level, all of us know that when we come down in mortality, everybody across the board gets to experience sex. Everybody does. Doesn't matter your humanity type. Doesn't matter who you are. We are born into this world gendered. Luckily, in the future, we'll be able to choose that gender with free will. Okay, actual free will. We will have the technology on this earth that if you're a person who feels like you want to be transgender, you want to change from a woman to a man or vice versa, we'll have that technology to do it perfectly for you. That is freedom. That is wonderful. Let you do it as you want. Let you experience sex as you want to experience. So we get all experience it here while we're going through mortality, and that's just great and wonderful, but it ain't nothing like what we can see in our advanced world with these gendered human beings, which are having advanced sex, and their description of the event and what it does for them. We don't see it. It's not like a massive orgy going on in an event. No. It's just we can tell by the smiles on their face. This must be incredible. This must be cool. This must be. But I'm only experiencing a small hit of the heroin. My mortal self is having sex, and I'm doing it as much as I can, but that's just a small hit. I want the big hit. Well, guess what? Unless by your own free will choice you chose to be a male or a female, depending on your desire, you ain't going to have sex, the ultimate sex. It's the incentive of the game. Believe it or not, we have made it dirty. We have made sex dirty. But there isn't a single person in here, well, the older you get, it's a little bit different, but doesn't go through a day and doesn't think about sex in some way. Whether it's looking at a person. Guys, this is how they do it, ladies, most guys. Guys will see a girl walking down the street. Serious. Most guys. You know, and it depends on their relationship that they're having at the time. And they will actually wonder how they can have sex with that person. By looking at that person and just saying, oh man, I'd like, just their minds start going that way. Serious. And let's go it the other way. Whether you're gay or not, you're a gay man walking down the street, you see a beautiful gay man, and you're just wondering, how can I hook up with that? It's not that we socially go up and say, hey, how can I hook up with you? That's not what we do, because we're respectful creatures. But that goes through our minds. And for women, it's similar. There's a little bit difference because women have a natural tendency to nurture and be a little bit different than men. Okay, so we're going to back up. Okay, back up to our first estate as advanced human beings, who we really are. We know that there's no other way to take a shot of heroin. Our shot of heroin there is to have a body that can, an advanced human body on the second level. First level, that's where we all are. Everything happens in our brain. We enter the game in our start of our brain. That's how it works. The syringe that puts the heroin in your body is your second estate. That's the only way you can get it. But you're never going to have that massive high that you remember from a times way past, unless through the course of you playing the game, you choose to be a server to others. The game can't go on unless there's service provided, that people provide service to other people. The incentive is, if you provide service to other people inside the game, if you become one of those players that chooses to serve others, you get to choose whether you be a male or a female. And most choose to be a female. Oh, hell. Knowing what I know, I'd choose to be a female in a second. Awesomely. I am the world's greatest lesbian in a man's body that could possibly be. I would choose to be a woman. Hands down with what I know. Women are amazing, but they're figuring it out finally. But us men, we've always known that. We just don't want to admit it. It's tough. There's only a few advanced humans that will ever be male. That will ever be male. Okay, I'm going to lay it out as it is, folks. And I'm just going to lay it, and it's going to offend some of you. But at this point, I told you don't come unless you want to be friends. You know, a woman can make another woman have an orgasm far beyond what a man can make a woman have. It's just how it is. A woman can do that. Yes, it's oral sex. Yes, it's how they do it that way. But that's just how it is. Now, some people say, oh, gosh, that's not right to say. That's, you go to your religious. We're talking reality. We're just talking reality. Now, a man can do that also to a woman if he knows what a woman does. You know, a man could do that way. Another male can please a man in the same way, because the male knows what he likes, and he'll do those things to that male that male likes. But it's all the same thing. It's all desiring this hit of heroin that we can remember existed. And that's what makes our lives exciting as advanced human beings, who are the most incredible people, life forms that exist. We want to hit that heroin. But what about pain? Let's talk about pain now. Let's talk about the time you're going, I fall off the stage and I break my leg. Man, that is painful. At the moment I'm going through that pain, there's obviously pain going on in my head, and I'm going, oh my God, how's my advanced mind reacting to that? How does my advanced mind feel that? If the advanced mind feels that hit just like just heroin, when your mortal avatar is having sex and you have that orgasm, it's like, oh, geez, wow. How is it when that mortal avatar is in pain beyond the mortal avatar's imagination? You ever had a migraine hit you just like that? And it's like, oh, Jesus. That's how they do it. That's what's felt by an advanced brain. When the mortal avatar goes through that type of pain, your advanced brain senses it just like one of those intense migraines. And you're like, oh, geez. But why would we allow that? Because here's the thing with the advanced brain, though. Whereas if we took a hit of heroin and our mortal body is having an orgasm, we can stop it anytime we want. We can stop it with a thought. It's done. Usually you don't stop those types of brain experiences. And that's why sex is so powerful, folks. That's why it's such a lust thing. But when you have pain and that migraine hits you, you're not going to sit there while your mortal avatar is sitting there writhing in pain. Who said that? Ah, of course, bitch. You're writhing in pain. Your advanced self is not going to sit there going, I'll get through this. God damn it, what the hell is going on down there? Oh, my God. Oh, jeez. They're torturing me. Oh, my gosh. They're the worst torture for a man. Let me tell you, this is the worst thing, and no man that can ever imagine this. You got to just let me speak as it is. Have your balls crushed. to have some, and this happens, have some buddy try to hold you down, put your balls in advice, and slowly, we just can't, all of us are just like, oh my God, kill me now. Kill me now. But as an advanced human being, you're going through that. That advanced human being senses it just like that migraine hit. Oh, shit. You know what's happening. You know what's happening. You can turn it off anytime you want. Anytime you want, you can stop it. Okay? And your advanced brain says, good luck with that, mortal avatar. I'm done feeling that shit. You can turn it off. Why do we want that to happen? Why do we want pain and misery and sorrow and to feel these intense physical things? Why do we want them to happen to us as advanced humans? Comparative value. Because if you're going along, let me explain how it is. Say you have a headache like that, an incredible migraine. That's right. You pay attention, little one. She looks down and says, yeah, shut up, man. I don't understand what you... Okay? We're going along. We have incredible pain. Our back has pain. This happened to me. Happened to Glenn. Happened to a lot of us. We're just in incredible pain. Oh, Jesus. We take a pill or we get a shot of morphine and it goes away. There is no better feeling on this damn earth than to have that pain relieved from us. Correct? You see, those who have done that, anytime we're administered pain relief, we're just like, oh, God. Oh, yes. This is incredible. Oh, thank you. That's why we allow it to happen as advanced human. We like that hit of pain to remind us and give us how remind us how wonderful it is not to have it, to be these incredible human beings that exist that have an incredible life. We don't know it's incredible. We don't know we're the ultimate creation that's always existed because we've always been that way. How do you say you are the ultimate compendium of matter that has ever existed? We don't know that because we live in the present. We've always been that way. And if somebody would, nobody would even say that because there's no basis of reality on which we could even understand that. We've just always been. But by gosh, to remind us how wonderful it is to do what we can do, we play that game. We choose to. And it can never happen. You can never have that shot of heroin as an advanced human called sex. You can never have that migraine that we call pain unless you play the game. It's simple. In the future, when these kids sit down to play their computer games and they have the technology to hook their brains up to them, okay, the kids will make a choice. They will know that when you go and play that game, there's a chance that you're going to feel pain. It's just going to happen. It's going to shock you. But they'll do it anyway. They'll do it anyway. Dumbass me and my brothers. Oh, my God. Here we are on a farm in Yukon, Idaho. My dad has horses. And those who have horses would understand this. He puts up this thin little piece of wire around these horses. And we go, what the hell, Dad? How's that piece of wire going to keep those horses in? Well, watch. He hooks it up to a battery. It's a 12-volt battery? I think they use 12-volt battery. And we're like, really? So we're over there. How's that going to keep this big-ass horse in there? And it does. So we're all, hey, Jody, I don't know if we ever did it to you, sis, but us guys, she was our little sister, so... Us guys are out there. Let's see if you can hold on to it. Let's see if you can hold on to it. Ah! That's what we do. That's what boys are. We'll do it again. Joel, I dare you to do it with your tongue. None of us ever did that shit. But I'll tell you something that did happen that at least we'll remember, something funnier than hell. If you're a farmer, you'll know what this is. A PTO on a tractor is a powertrain overdrive, right? What? Power takeoff. Yeah, that's right. I can't remember. So I'm 10. Jody's 9. And we know how to run tractors. Hell, our parents taught us that. I mean, my dad put us out on tractors. We did all kinds of things. Before I get back to that story, I'm going to tell you about training Elisa. She brought this up the other time. Got my little sister out there. I think she's probably, if she's an eight, probably barely. Okay, so we're out hauling hay. We got how you haul hay back in the olden days. You get in a truck or a tractor. It was a truck at the time, I think. And then you have it's pulling a flatbed. You got the stacker on the trailer. And you got two people on the sides bucking hay. My dad, God, what a dad. I mean, he had broken his arm. And I'm not sure if it's broken at the time, but I think it might have been. This guy would be the stacker on the flatbed. One arm. He had his boys, me and my brother Corey, were on one side because they were so heavy. We would be bucking them together. My brother Mike was on the other. Now, I'm not sure if it was Mike on the trailer. Have we ever decided who was on which, where everybody was?
Mike was on the trailer. You guys were bucking and Jody was teaching.
Okay, so Dad wasn't there.
No, he was there. His arm was hurt, so he was running by yelling.
Okay, yeah, he was yelling, tell us what to do. So I was on one side bucking a bale of hay. Corey was on the other side. Mike, my brother, was stacking hay as we'd buck it off. And Jody, my little brother, and Elisa were in the cab to slowly drive the thing along while we bucked it. I don't know exactly how the decision was made, but the decision was made to teach Elisa how to drive. So we're on there doing our thing. I'm not sure exactly when, because we weren't in the cab. I just know that we'd switched and Elisa was going to learn to drive. You got an eight-year-old. So my dad yells, push on the brake. She pushes on the gas. Vroom! That thing sent my brother flying. We were just, it was crazy. I don't even know how you got it stopped. I don't know if Jody did it or what. Anyway, quite funny. Back to that power train. Yeah, you know the thing that makes what it does on a tractor, spins around real fast and makes the thing, whatever's behind the tractor, work and operate. So we had the thing that turns the hay. Rake. Okay. There was something going on. No, it wasn't a rake. It had the blades. It was a swather, but it was one you pulled behind. Okay, and then there was this fan belt on it. And it was a fan belt that went to the PTO ran the pulleys that made the fan belt go around. So I'm sitting on the tractor, my brother Joel's down there. I said, hey, Joel, see if you can hold that fan belt from moving while I turn the PTO on. Yeah. My little brother, he always put his tongue out. Grabs that, geez, of course, it about took his finger off, you see, and the pain that he went through, but the things that we do, my point, we know this shit's going to happen. We know when we enter the game that there's going to be pain and misery and sorrow and the possibility of sex there once in a while, but we know that these things are going to happen, and we want them to happen. Because you cannot sit there in an advanced world as an advanced human being and continue your existence as a, oh, yeah, lovely, let's go to the temple, let's sit at Christ's feet, let's do it. Come on. You're human beings who live. That's what you do. It's what you've always done. But in order to get that hit of heroin, you enter the game. In order to feel the relief that comes when you have a migraine, is enter the game. Okay, the difference is when you have a migraine, as my brother was crying in pain and sorrow, his advanced self, I'm sure, took that migraine and said, God damn, Chris, and then ended it. Okay, he ended it based on, I don't want to feel this pain anymore. That's how our human advanced brains work. Very, very simple for me to understand. Now, whether you guys understand that or not, I simply do not know. But the point of explaining that to you this day is you have to start to grasp, if you want any semblance of peace and understanding of what's going on in this world, you have to grasp the idea, the truth, the real truth, that you are an advanced human being. That's why you sense the quote-unquote power of God. You sense that because you're an advanced human being who exists in a sphere of existence that is the ultimate state for any matter that could possibly exist. Everything else, the universe that you see, the universe where we really are, is a universe. It has different planets. It has different universes. I'm sorry, it has different galaxies. And there are people living there going through the game. That's how it's done. In order to make the game fair, in order to make it more challenging, you limit the number of advanced humans with whom you play the game. It's that simple. And each group of game players, there is a solar system in a particular galaxy. Now, let's put it better. There's a galaxy that they enter into and start playing the game. Within each of those galaxies, there are different solar systems. Every solar system has different planets. The planets are completely different than what we're used to as on our first level, who we really are. We exist on a linear plane. If you could just walk forever and it'd never end with humans or the environments that humans have created. It's just that's how it is. It's infinite. In the game, it's not. In the game, you only allow yourself to be around those who agree with you, who are like you, who bring you happiness. So, no one ever has suggested that the reason why the sexual drive in ourselves as mortals is so powerful and relevant to our happiness, per se, because we're advanced humans who need a hit of heroin, than this. And now I ask you, please, does that make fucking sense? Okay, we're going to get some questions going because I need to know. Lily had her hand up first. Here's the mic coming up there, Lily. Sound like a damn munchkin. You and Laura Syke, you ought to get together.
I am
and say,
a munchkin.
We represent the, anyway.
We represent the lollipop. Okay, so no, what you were saying makes perfect sense on two levels, and you gave me an answer that I've had for quite a while, which is why are opiates so highly addictive? We hear this all the time. I get it. I totally get it. I've never tried heroin, never probably will, but now I get it why people say, and I just saw a documentary on it, of people that started on pain medications like OxyContin and Codeine, and their doctors no longer gave it to them, they had to go out and find heroin. They had to. They could not stop. But I get it now. From an advanced perspective, I get it. It makes perfect sense. Thank you.
And the only way I could have used that example, sis, is because of you. I mean, I know. And there's other people in here, I'm sure, that use heroin. But if you're brave and courageous enough to let me use my dear sister, I know. I appreciate that. I mean, you get to know my sister, you get to know me. You find it. Anyway, that's perfect. And anyone who has, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands because if we have any undercover cops in here, I don't know what it's going to do. Okay, next question. Let's do some questions here. Not from Christine Marble. Pass it on. No, I'm just kidding. Messing with you, Christine. Go ahead.
So what is the mechanism or whatever that creates the connection that an advanced human feels an orgasm?
Okay, remember, the advanced human does not feel an orgasm. The advanced human brain senses the orgasm that's occurring inside their mind as a hit of heroin. It's your mind. The game is being played inside the mind where everything happens. Okay, so you've got to think of it this way. And it's not exactly like this, but I'm going to put it the best I can. Think of your brain having three separate parts. Okay? The number one reality where you live and where you are, where you always exist in the present. One part. The major part. Second part, it's when you enter the game. Okay, you enter the, let's do two parts. Don't want to confuse you. Two parts. Your brain, like you have now, and then your brain, part of your brain that's playing the game. When a child plays a computer game, he or she is right into that game, but they know if their mother calls them to dinner. They know what's going on around them. Okay, if the dog's barking or brother comes in, you're playing the game. You're not taking it. You know, So your brain is aware of two things, advanced human. Your advanced reality and the game of life that we call that. Within that part of your brain where it's played is where the sensation, the heroin hits, bam, or the migraine hits, bam. Okay? That's a pretty easy explanation. So the mechanism is simply the neurons of your advanced brain. That's where it all happens. Okay? Like I said, when you've had a migraine, I think you've had, you have to ask yourself, where the hell did that come from? Geez, all of a sudden it hits you. You go, oh, God, that hurts. It happens somewhere in your brain. Doesn't happen in your sixth chakra or your fifth or your eighth or your first. It happens right there. Okay, so the mechanism of these feelings and how you experience them is in an incredible advanced brain that's beyond your capacity, as Christine, to even understand it.
Okay.
Now, I don't even know if I make sense, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Yes, you did. Was there a person, or has there ever been a person, prior to the inventions of machinery, computers, and advanced technology that has been able to figure out the game? And I'm not talking about the messengers.
What you're talking about, let me see if I can clarify it. We're advanced human beings. Pretend now that we're all advanced human beings. We're in a credible situation where we can play a game if we want. We've all got the game figured out. The game is this. Hey, my life is a little bit boring. I want to experience more experience. And that playing that game is incredible. It's entertaining. It's everything that I could ask for. Okay, so we already got that part figured out. When we enter the game, we enter the game in two ways. Either as a free-willed player who forgets everything that they know. As soon as you enter the game, all your memories are wiped out, and you have to start from an infant, an advanced human infant, being raised by others. Or you can enter the game already knowing that it's a game, already dedicating yourself to help others in the game. Because that way you know you get sex, if you choose to do that. But that is not challenging, because you already have the game figured out. You know what's going to happen. The only thing you're going to get is a few hits of heroin once in a while. That's what you're going to get. That's it. You can't get anything else but a few hits of heroin. You can't even get the sensation of that migraine because you don't feel pain. But if you enter in as a free-willed, can't-remember infant, and you're raised by these other players, and you get to choose by going through all these experiences, you get to choose for yourself what your humanity type is, what you want to do. Do you want to serve somebody, or just want to serve yourself? Or do you want to be served? Those three types. You still don't got the game figured out. You still don't. Because if you did, if you had the game completely figured out, you're stupid for staying another day in this and going through the crap that you have to go through, unless you've got good sex all the time. But if you're going through pain all the time, you're nuts for staying in here. You're a mortal avatar. You can't figure it out because you're not supposed to. Your advanced self does not want Christine to figure things out. Because if Christine did, Christine, not listening to her true self, would kill herself. So she wouldn't have to go through the pain that the advanced you wants you to go through. So your advanced self can have those migraines at times and turn them off. I don't know if that made sense.
Not listening to my true self. That's an interesting concept.
None of you do.
Okay, so here's the I don't know that you answered my question. Was there a person, or has there been a person? Yes,
no.
Or no? Okay, that's all.
No. The only person in this life.
Has anybody understood about machinery, computers, things like that prior to the age of technology?
Really? I'm going to ask you. Okay, I'm going to put it.
Yes, really.
Okay.
You know what? I have a question. If I didn't want an answer, I wouldn't.
Okay. The answer is going to be really cool for you. Joseph Smith.
But I
He had a cell phone. Joseph Smith had a cell phone that could actually receive text messages.
I said beside the messengers.
No, you've got to be a messenger. No one but a messenger is allowed. But when you, I thought your question was, maybe I didn't understand it. Was there anybody that figured out the technology and the machinery and all that? Yeah, but Joseph was prior to the age of technology.
But he was a messenger.
That's true. No. Now, there were some lazy human beings who were wealthy and just sat around and thought about it that came up with some cool shit. Leonardo da Vinci. Okay, think about that. Think about some of the Greek philosophers. Democritus was the Greek philosopher who came up with the idea of an atom, that everything, all matter, is created from atoms. But guess what? The game rules and protocols stopped them from developing those thoughts any further. Or electricity would have been discovered back in 600 BC among the Greeks, who had the time to think about it, and our world wouldn't exist today. Because a nuclear energy would have been discovered and we would have obliterated ourselves. All those things are controlled. The Industrial Age was the time period when the controls were taken away. Those of you who know where I'm going with, here's where your Joseph Smith guy said something cool. In November of 1831, he said this. But of course it went whoo over everybody's head, but now you understand it. The time is not yet, but is nigh at hand when Satan shall have power, the devil shall have power over his own dominions. So up until that time, Genghis Khan and all those other people, everybody that existed, all those wars and all the bullshit that went on, that had nothing to do with Satan. He didn't have power. The devil didn't have power at that time. What he meant was this, if he would have put it in good words. It hasn't happened yet, folks, but because you're all, everybody's mind is being somewhat impeded and subjected to restrictions so that you don't come up with this technology and use human nature to completely screw up this world. But it's coming. It's coming soon, where there's going to be no more controls or restrictions. And look what we've done. Look what's happening. Because with that technology that we advanced human beings come up with these things. When you have time to think about it, you can come up with a lot of shit. A lot of great stuff. And when they come up with these ideas, they implement them. And they can be used for good or bad. All these great inventions, good or bad. Every single thing that you think improves your life can be used for bad. Okay? All right, Christine, let's go on to the next one. Thanks. John's going to bring the microphone around. When you raise your hand, you kind of look for who's the next. Go ahead.
Hey, Christopher. Thank you for all of your insight. And I just wanted to ask you a question. I'm a convert at age 28, troubled youth, goody two shoes, flipped the coin, and lived what I believe was a righteous life, and got a pretty good understanding and been through the temple endowment. I've got a friend at church that I still go from time to time.
What church?
Mormon. Church okay. Of Mormon, Latter-day Saints. And he posed a question because he and I are doing this investigation. I said, are you willing to think outside the box? Of course I am. Are you red pill, blue pill? He says, I'm a red pill. Okay, so let's take this walk together and do some investigation because you have a wealth of knowledge that I
don't.
Put
that closer to your mouth. Because
you have a wealth of knowledge that I don't regarding the history of the church and how you were brought up. And the constant indoctrination of being, you know, eight and, you know, all of these things that they go through. So anyway, he posed to me, he said, okay, so Greg, in the endowment, because we talk about the endowment a lot, in the endowment, I said, so Adam was that men may be, men are that they might have joy. And so what you and Christine were talking about here shortly, a moment ago, was this experience. And we came down here because we're bored. In this euphoric atmosphere where nothing goes wrong, and we want some excitement, so we come down here and take this hit of pain and or everything else to get that experience, and that to me is the whole purpose, is to define our character. So what happened was I was this kid that was enjoying life, and I grew up in a Baptist background, And I said, you know what? One day I want to go bowling. I don't want to go to church anymore. And it was like you were saying, I want a popsicle. He's like, what about the philosophies of life? Well, I want a popsicle, and I wanted to go bowling. And that was what I was relating to. Anyway, so his question posed to me was this. He says, Greg, I said, well, Adam had to fall, and I'm asking you in this question, did Adam had to fall because he was in this dream state? And God and Jesus left him alone and said, well, we'll come back to visit later. And his point was this. If Adam hadn't sinned and eaten and partaken of the fruit of knowledge, which I believe had to be, God would have came back and gave him the rest of the understanding that he was supposed to have to procreate and replenish the earth. When my argument and my personal point of view is he had to fall. To and eat of that fruit of knowledge.
Let me end your argument right here.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
Adam was a fictional character. There isn't a God. There isn't a Jesus. There isn't a Jehovah. All fiction. Therefore, the basis of your comments and argument are a non sequitur to nothing.
Okay.
You see, were not real.
Yeah.
Joseph Smith created the endowment based on Christian principles, but an incredibly powerful, powerful presentation of truth. In the temple endowment, did Adam fall anywhere?
Well, he partook of the fruit of knowledge.
I didn't say we falled.
But
what happened to Michael?
Michael went to sleep.
He went to sleep.
Right.
Maybe when he was asleep, he fell off the chair. But other than that, there was no fall. So what you're bringing up here, it's I'm going to tell you, it's my job. And that's why I warned you folks when you came here. You're talking about things that aren't real. We might as well talk about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Okay.
And how everybody was calling him names. But Santa came along and said, we're going to choose you, Rudolph, to lead my sleigh tonight because you got that bright red nose. There's no difference between your comments and me answering them. I could answer them in a religious context. It would blow your friend away.
Okay.
But I'm not going to waste the time.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. This is tough for you religious people. I'm sorry. But your friend would not like me. You know, he just wouldn't. Well, I'm glad somebody likes me. What, we got 125 people here that like me? Well, maybe. Oh. Some of you do. Whether you do or don't, I don't care. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's just how it is. This is recorded. It'll be out here. Okay, go ahead. Hey, if you want to, unless you want to say I'm anonymous, just tell us your name and where you're from so people get to know you.
Hi, I'm Matt Schofield. I actually drove 3.5 hours from here over in Milford, Utah to get over here. Heard about it 2:00 in the morning this morning.
Wow.
I had just finished Human Reality, and I couldn't put it down. Answered a lot of questions. It was awesome. But my question is, when you were talking, I had a brother who committed suicide when I was a little kid, and I've always wanted to see him again. And I was wondering, since you were talking about how when our life is over, we basically go, our essence like kind of reactivates, and we kind of realize that we were there for a temporary time. I really care about seeing my brother right now, but will I care about seeing him again when he comes over there and I realize it was just kind of a game?
What was your brother's name?
His name was Michael.
How old was he when he died?
He was 15.
So you had experiences. How old were you when he died?
I was 5.
Okay. From the time, for 5 years, you had some experiences with Michael.
Yes.
Right? And mm-hmm. Those experiences were for 5 years, you developed some experiences that mean something to you today.
Yes.
Something you wish you could revisit.
Yes.
Even though that advanced human whose mortal avatar was Michael is probably alive again as somebody else. At any time, you two as advanced humans can get together, and with the power of your advanced brain, that incredible brain, you guys can recall those 5 years that you can remember being with Michael as if they happened. In fact, because of the advanced brain, how it works, you won't just remember them and recall them like we do memories. Oh, yeah, that was it. You can actually relive them. sight, sound, taste, smell, touch.
With him at the same time?
Yeah, you will.
Wow.
You'll relive. That's how strong your brain is.
Thank you. That's good. I had another question, though. Is that okay?
Yeah.
My first book that I read of yours was Without Disclosing My True Identity, which is really what sold me hook, line, and sinker, because so many details. It was awesome. First, I need to ask, do you have all the memories of Hiram?
My memories of Hiram, now this is another thing we want to get on tape so people know. I've been accused of saying he thinks he's the resurrected Hiram. And no, I'm not the resurrected Hiram. There's no such thing as resurrected. My name is Christopher.
Reincarnated, sorry.
I'm not the reincarnated Hiram. Hiram is dead. Long time, born on February 9th, 1800, and died on June 27, 1844.
Okay.
And I have those memories of what I could remember. However, the memories to me are kind of like the memories that you had in high school. How old are you?
I'm 26.
Oh, wait, not you. Let's go with Nate Davis right there next year. How Nate can remember his high school friends and those experiences, same thing with you. Nate, can you remember every single friend you went to class with? No, but if one of your friends who you had gone to class with were to meet you and say, hey, I was in your algebra class back in blah, 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 you would then go, oh, yeah, makes sense. So you do have memories of your high school experiences, but they're kind of hard to recall, correct?
Yeah.
That's how my memories of Hiram.
Okay, well, that was like the first part of that second question. The other part is, when I was reading it, I couldn't help but like wonder what Hiram's relationship with Lucy was like, and if it was different than Joseph's relationship with Lucy Smith.
With the mom of the two?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Hiram was he was an introvert. Well, Joseph was an extrovert, Hiram was an introvert, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Alvin, if you knew something about Alvin, you'd see Alvin was more of the extrovert.
Okay.
And there was a sister that was kind of older than Joseph at that time. But Hiram was very, very subdued, very much, he had agoraphobia. In social situations, he did not fare well.
Mm.
When he was around Joseph, he had a lot of courage. Okay, but his relationship was with his mother was not as great as it was with his father. Hiram was much closer to his father than his mother. Hiram had a problem with Lucy cutting down Joseph Smith Sr. so much.
Kind of the same thing that Joseph felt toward her.
Joseph did, but Joseph loved his mother a lot. They both did. Back in that day, you loved your mother. But Hiram, he gravitated towards his dad. For example, it was Hiram and Joseph Sr. who first joined the Masons.
Oh, okay.
You see? And Hiram would, when Joseph had his little enlightenment, and Alvin, the big brother, they would argue about things, and Alvin would be so intrigued because his little brother all of a sudden was smart, but Hiram wouldn't get involved. He'd just sit there at night and listen to him. Got to remember, these guys were in a one-room cabin a lot of the times.
Right.
These three boys were sleeping in the same bed for a long time. But and you can imagine these conversations between Alvin and Joseph once Joseph, as 15-year-old, started having this enlightenment. And talking to Alvin as Hiram sat there just going, whoa. That's where he gained his respect.
Oh, okay.
You see?
All right, so he was kind of like the silent observer.
Silent observer. One thing that Mormon historians will never point out is, why didn't Joseph Smith call Hiram to a leadership position in the church until way, way later? Why didn't he?
It was because Joseph wanted to protect him, right?
He didn't want Hiram involved in that bullshit. Hiram's job was to be there and learn from his brother. Learn what Joseph was all about. And you can't do that from being a person who gives your opinion a lot, like Alvin was. Alvin would have screwed everything up, really. That's why he got taken.
Right.
But Hiram sat there and observed. No one loved Joseph like Hiram did. Very, very close.
Mm.
Why? Why did they make that one of my past lives? Because I'm the only guy on this earth that can really explain what happened back then on intimate emotional details that others wouldn't see. That's why I can talk to you about, you know, the guys riding on the horses didn't have their pens out. Their pens with ink quills with ink, guys. So whatever Joseph supposedly said that these other guys said, Joseph said this.
It's just through the grapevine.
We know it's bullshit.
Right.
It's all made up stuff.
And so,
where's Hiram's journal? Ooh. He doesn't need one. He's sitting right here, but he's not. It's just like this. You've had lives, previous lives. Every one of you have.
Right.
It's just what is the life that you had, and what significance does it have to your advanced self? Because everyone chooses what life they're going to be in. And it's significant to you, to your advanced self. Not necessarily anybody else but you.
Did I choose, or did the Solarians that were like my guidance counselors choose for me this life?
No. All in the human reality book, all Solarians who have been through this process, All they do is they act like guidance counselors. When you go to high school, does a guidance counselor choose for you where you're going to go to college?
Okay. Good point.
All right. Guidance counselors.
But you are not you're not the reincarnated Hiram Smith, but you did live him in a past life.
That's right. You can't say reincarnate because he doesn't exist. That had to be one of my lives, which I do nothing about. I was Krishnamalka, brother of Elisa, pulling her hair, whatever I did, until 1987. When that clicked in, then I realized that was one of my past lives.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And then as I went on, I began to understand
why. So reincarnation just doesn't fit the definition of what it was.
Reincarnation's stupid. It's like, then I'm Hiram Smith. I'm not Hiram Smith, I'm Christopher. I don't look anything like him. There's some similarities, some weird, uncanny similarities to the look. But I'm not him. Hmm. Not him. Do I act like an introvert?
No.
Do I need anybody at my side to give me a personality and charisma? I act more like Joseph. If you were to meet Joseph Smith in his day, his personality was very similar to mine. But you know whose personality is more similar to mine than anybody else's? Impendius. Now, those of you who don't know who that is, you haven't been listening. But anyway. And you can see why people hated him.
Right.
Unless they got to know him. You would see why they're just hated. But they're only hated by especially men who come up to him and they have this value. They come in and confront him. I have this value. I'm a Baptist minister. In my case, I'm a priesthood holder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Let's see. I'm going to confront you. No, you're not. And you're not going to, and none of them ever has. None of them. Wouldn't that be cool if one did? They won't. They just won't. I would treat them with all the decorum and love and kindness that they have, but I would make them just, I've seen it before. I've been very nice. I ask them a few questions, talk about a few things, and they get upset and angry. Why does a man get upset and angry, and a woman? They get upset and angry when it makes sense. When it makes so much sense that the cognitive dissonance in their brain cannot quite handle their stuff that doesn't make as much sense as what I tell them. That's where they get angry. Go ahead, next one.
Hi, my name's Terry. I'm from St. George. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been watching you and learning from you for about 2 years now. It seems to me like more than once or more than twice, you have said something about the possibility of the Thump Party being successful. And in my recollection, you've said at least one time that it's never been successful in any other society, and it probably won't be successful here. If that's correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, what's the purpose of trying if it ain't gonna work anyway?
Awesome question. Gosh, I wish I had that mask of Anonymous. Then I could do it. I could show you. I put on the mask of Anonymous and say, this party will work. Wait a minute. Tino, can you give me the voice? Can Tino give me that voice? Can Tino do it? Oh, he can't. Not hooked up. There's Tino right there. The voice of Anonymous is going to tell you this plan will work. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's got to work. That's the voice of Anonymous.
But haven't you said that it may
not work? Wait. But I'm not the voice of Anonymous. Obviously, he was out here and I met him. My name is Christopher. I'm a true messenger.
And I'm asking you as Christopher.
Okay, so the first part, and I hate saying this, but I guess you called me on the carpet and I got to tell you the truth. Of course it's not going to fucking work. Not with these people on this planet. Of course not. But they still need to be given the chance. Why? Because the purpose for advanced humans, the other purpose besides having a shot of heroin and getting rid of that migraine, is to prove to themselves what kind of human being they are. Because every single human that exists, every advanced human has an ego. And they believe that they're great people, that they're good people. They can't imagine at all that they would ever in a million years justify bad things happening to another person, or even being a part indirectly or directly of a bad thing happening to another person. When the fact is, if you're not Solarian, if you're not celestial, if you're not a server, then no matter what you do, you're going to cause bad things to happen to other people. But that's a hard concept for advanced humans to get. They don't get that. They don't quite get that. How can that be? Well, their mom say, go play the game for a while and you will figure it out. But mom, I'm going to go down in that game and I'm going to help solve poverty. I'm going to be behind the Humanity Party. No, you're not. No, that's not what the mother said. The mother just smiled. But if you're not a Solarian who wants to serve other people, and you're the most people on this earth in our solar system are Lunarian, they're ones who want to serve themselves. And they don't want anybody to serve them, just want to serve themselves. Then your right to bear arms is much greater than another person's right to have free food. So, the purpose of me and this movement is to give this world a chance, because it will fail. Okay. How do we know that? Because one of the smartest political men that have ever lived in this planet wrote his own endowment called the Book of Revelation. And in that book, he tells us how it all ends. Not an apocalypse, that's bullshit. How does it end? Read the Book of Revelation, folks, you don't. How does it end? How does this man on a white horse with a sharp two-edged sword cut him out of his mouth? Because that's what I'm doing, folks. I'm showing you what a sharp-edged sword's like. Though that person will not use profanity and have much more eloquence than I have, and will say it to the point. That person will talk more like the voice of Anonymous than the messenger. How will it end? I'll tell you, and then go back and read your fucking book, guys. He comes down, and there's two types of people that suffer. The kings and the merchants of the earth. Nobody buys their shit anymore. Nobody buys their clothes and their pearls and their services and anything else. And they want the rocks to cover them, because this guy on the white horse comes and they are embarrassed. They are embarrassed because they said this at one time in their life. They said, as they were immortals going through this life, no one should get free food. People should have to work for that food. No one should be on welfare. That is not right. That's not God's. And we have the right to bear arms. We have a right to kill another human being if that person comes to kill us. We have that right to go completely against love your enemies, do good to those that hate you and persecute, despitefully use you. Every advanced human being up there has an ego. And that ego is going to get ripped to shreds by this movement. Because I don't see very many of those advanced human avatars here today. How many do you think listened to Impendius, to Jesus, back in his day? Well, it came to a point where there was about just a few. It was not 12. That's just a number. It was probably 30 or 40. 30 or 40 of them, right? And everybody else left him. And then he started talking some hard shit. He started saying, you know what, you Pharisees and Sadducees and all you religious people, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And I'd say the same thing to any Mormon or any a Catholic or anybody who believes in the sacrament. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, because you can eat the flesh and blood of Christ all you want, but unless you eat my flesh and blood, you got no life in you, and you will never see eternal life. And then there was about four of them that said, holy shit. The rest of them left him. And he turned to those four and he said, so what are you guys going to do? Leave me too? All those stories are clues and set up. So back to your question, which allowed me to do other things, it's pretty simple. It doesn't matter if this fails or not. Because there's 50 people that are in this audience that exist that they live and breathe the Humanity Party. There's nothing they can do about that. Because as advanced humans, that's the only reason why they stay in this game. Everybody else just won't care. So the idea is to give people an opportunity. I can take the NRA and make them look like complete fools, and there is nothing they could argue against it. The only thing they would ever do is to get out a gun and shoot me so I'd shut my mouth. I can do that to the NRA and show them that humans do not have the right to bear arms. But how many people do you think in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints would support a guy who said that? So, back to your point, that's why I do this. That's what's going on.
Okay. One more question, if I could, please.
You bet.
You have, I'm probably not going to use the right word, but retranslated the Sermon on the Mount, and it's in the book, the sealed portion. How come if Christ